Hi, Jerry.
I've done this work as it's laid out in the Big Book with the help of a Big Book Step Study sponsor and a loving God. I've made my amends, and I'm living in steps 10, 11, and 12 to the best of my ability. Thank you, everyone, for being here. The first thought that came to mind was the word hope. And I looked up a definition, a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. This first paragraph, when I read it, it was like, wow, I mean, here you're sitting in a position, and I can remember this. We now know that we're the addict, I'll use that term, versus alcoholic, since we're all addictions. And no matter what our addiction, no matter what my addiction, I could not quit for a period of time without resuming those behaviors. That's a pretty desperate place to be. I was blessed with alcohol, but not as easily with cigarettes and food and codependent behaviors. With alcohol, I think it was the power of the group. I was going to a Friday night group, and it was the power of the group that gave me hope. I mean, it was clear these people in the rooms were alcoholics. There was no doubt about that. And I got sober at Penman at the beaches, and it was very clear that we were alcoholics in those rooms. And so 90 meetings in 90 days, and unbeknownst to me, a miraculous power that I didn't know was working in my life got me sober. I was not aware of any kind of great power working in my life. I, of course, was doing the things like praying, etc., but I was not aware of any great power working in my life, and I do not to this day know. It was a miracle that the craving was lifted, because without the craving being lifted, I would never have stayed sober. So hope is really at this stage of finding out cigarettes. I'll talk about cigarettes. That first paragraph describes so well where I found myself. I had smoked through college and into, I don't know, maybe it was up to my 30s. And back then it was culturally acceptable. I spent a lot of time in Europe, and so it was definitely culturally acceptable. It never even dawned on me that it was an addiction. And then I started having the physical symptoms of the cough that wouldn't go away. And I remembered that sometime, you know, I knew very little about my grandparents on my dad's side, but the one thing that I had been told at some point was that he died of emphysema. And I never saw him smoke, I never saw him drink, but clearly he had been smoking even when he got into his 80s. And I realized then the horror started to really hit me that if I didn't quit, then I would be, there are things worse than dying. There are things worse than dying. That includes everything that nicotine can do to you. So I tried and tried. That never lasted very long. And then, you know, an interesting thing, I tried in the program with my sponsor. So I've now been in recovery for a couple of years. I've been in AA for a couple of years. And we both agreed that we would quit smoking. And we called each other every day, and neither one of us wanted to let the other person down. And I think that lasted for a couple of weeks. I then was transferred out of the location, so we didn't see each other, nor could we talk to each other every day. And within weeks, I stopped at the tobacco and got a pack of cigarettes and didn't quit for another roughly 10 years, I think. So isn't it interesting that going to meetings, having a sponsor, having another human being to work this with, those are all the same things that we talk about in recovery from any addiction, except there was one thing missing. We were trying to rely on our own power. And we thought we could do it if we didn't let each other down. And so finally, I was blessed with ending up in Atlanta. And at that stage, I was beyond fear with the hacking and everything. And I found Nicotine Anonymous. And that's where my higher power showed up. Didn't mean it was easy, but over a period, a little bit longer period, more like 6 weeks or so, the craving was lifted, and I knew that if I didn't pick up again, I'd be okay. That somehow this power would keep me from picking up. As we were reading, there were a couple of thoughts that came to me as I was thinking about this process of coming to believe. And talks about on 46.1, we really found it difficult to believe that we needed a power greater than ourselves. I found it difficult to believe I couldn't quit smoking alone. I didn't believe I could quit eating without control by my own. I felt that with either patches, nicotine patches, with partnerships, with AA meetings, with going to, even going to OA, having an OA sponsor, I felt the horrible struggle of being at this point of not having a solution to be able to be free of these addictions. And I think these first pages are talking about the process that I went through, and I think others do too, of that infinite intelligence. I'll use words other than God, because I think for many of us that's more helpful. I found myself going through when those cravings were lifted for cigarettes and for alcohol first, I knew a miracle had happened. And that pretty much clinched it for me right there, that there's something about a power that can affect my mind and my self-discipline in such a way that I am totally relieved. They are like taken away. That is a miracle. That's just such an amazing miracle. So that's kind of starting at a very simple level on the bottom of 43.7, which is my seeing that it was a miracle. It was a miracle. I didn't understand it. And for me, I'd been going to church pretty much all my life, and that certainly hadn't made a dent in any of my addictions. So there was just a lot of struggle and prejudice in my thinking. And the way that prejudice gets broken down for me was where it says on 48, it finally beat us into a state of reasonableness. I just got beaten down. I hope that's not always other people's experience, but that is certainly part of my story. And so I had to have a reasonable assumption as a starting point, and that starting point was the miracle. Because I did all these things, and the miracle didn't always happen right away. I went for cigarettes. I went to meetings. I had a sponsor. I read the materials. I prayed. It didn't happen right away. It happened, associated with a horrendous fear, which of course made me much more willing. And I can't even explain a feeling, but something came in, something got involved and took away that craving. Because without the craving being removed, I could not quit. So that was my starting point in terms of an assumption, was that, you know, some kind of miracle had happened, and I'm not really clear about, you know, what it was and how it happened. And so slowly, I started to change. I started to be open to what was being revealed to me about through this book. My spiritual beliefs now, although I also have religious beliefs, my spiritual beliefs come from slowly believing the words in the book and seeing them finally work in my life. And again, with food, it didn't happen. I didn't realize I'd gotten hooked. I went through a really bad personal experience, and I picked up food the same way I drank, the same way I smoked. And I didn't realize I had done that until I was hooked. So when the emotional turmoil was over, I attempted OA with a sponsor. Well, actually, I've gone through, had gone to OA for a number of years in different venues, and was using the materials, was reading the book, was, but the minute even the tiniest thing, I could be set off by just the tiniest thing, and I'd be picking up again. And it was so frustrating because I had so much experience with the program. And I had been blessed to stay sober through some really challenging life experiences. That's the other thing, is that, you know, right here we're talking about just plain getting sober, whatever that means to each of us. But then, as we go on, that power keeps me sober through all of the anxiety, fear, insecurities that life throws at me. Amazing. I have not so far had a desire to pick up alcohol. I have not so far had a desire to pick up cigarettes. I'm still in process on the food, but I can feel now in the food that God is relieving the craving. And it's funny because I'll be anxious about something, and my normal reaction would be to pick up particular substances that numb me. And for some strange reason, they're not really interesting to me now. Now, how do you explain that? So I believe in all the tools of our program, in the doing the steps and reading the materials and going to the meetings, in having fellowship with other people in the program. But this talks to us here about that undefinable force that works in our life to give us freedom from our cravings, that we therefore can work these steps and be free and live happy, joyous, free. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.